When looking into the reflections in the darksome mirror, you never know what may be staring back. In this episode of Reflections in the Darksome Mirror, our half-elf protagonist Chinnereth attends her naming ceremony. As she crosses this threshold, several threads of fate may weave together. Will Chinnereth experience an arcane awakening? Will the ominous portents of her past dreams or Mother Zara's words manifest? What lies in store for this daughter of destiny, crossing this conflux of fate? Thank you for listening to Reflections in the Darksome Mirror, an otherworldly dark fantasy audiobook and solo play adventure inspired by classic fantasy tabletop games. This audio experience is intended to blend the prose and world building of a novel with an element of RPG-like randomness provided by dice rolling at appropriate times. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. This is the second episode of Reflections in the Darksome Mirror. If you would like to catch up, please see the episode's description for a link to the first episode to enhance your listening experience. Alternatively, you may wish to listen to episode 0 if you would like to gain some background information on the tabletop RPG system used in this podcast. Without further ado, let's begin the narrative. There was a knock at her door, and Chinnereth sat bolt upright. Her overhead window was still dark, filled with stars. The door opened a few inches, and she heard Sindora's voice. Chinnereth, it's an hour before dawn. I just wanted to make sure you were ready in time.
Yes, thank you, Aunt.
She said, sitting up. A palpable relief washed over her, and she grinned, then threw off her bed covers and leapt upright. She felt for the cedar chest that held her clothes, and shuffled for one drawer in particular. As she opened it, she smelled the small herbal sachets of cloves, rosemary, and thyme used to ward off moths. The outfit she was looking for was made, unsurprisingly, of black moth silk. The robe had pointed shoulders and a simplistic design, and it had matching slipper-like shoes. Its multi-part skirt just covered her thighs, and it was worn without hose for the purpose of easily removing the shoes and standing barefoot in the reflective pool ahead of the mirror. She recalled her mother giving it to her long ago.
Though you didn't even bother to show up,
Chinnereth thought with a frown. The traditional sash for this dress was made of undyed moth silk and without adornment. It was off-white in color to represent the changing nature of being, or the change that was about to take place in the wearer's life. In only a fraction of the time she usually took, her hair was brushed, her face cleaned, and she had reapplied her makeup. This time in the dramatic ceremonial fashion expected of her. She had always enjoyed this style, and as she traced the dark lines around her eyes and on her lips, wished she could have done it this way more often. She cast another glance at her sword, but decided against it again. The sky in her overhead window had turned a myriad of colors, brightening the dark canvas of night. She stepped into her slippers, which were secured with silk ribbons, and glanced into the mirror one last time. Then she exited the room with a joyous step. She saw Sindora adjusting her hair while glancing in the hallway mirror. She was wearing a saber not unlike her own, in an elegantly decorated sheath, stuck through her sash and secured with the help of its own silken cord. Ah, Shinna, you look beautiful. I think it's about time. I'm sure Octavius and his brood have already taken up most of the front row seats. I put together some breakfast if you want, she said, and pointed to a plate on the nearby side table. Chinnereth nodded and took the herbal flatbread, preserved fruits, and jerky in her hands.
I think I can eat on the way. We should probably get going,
Chinnereth said through mouthfuls of food. Well, I haven't seen you so enthused in a while. Let's not tarry then, Sindora said. She put her left hand on the pommel of her sword and opened the door with her right. After you, Lady Chinnereth, who dances in darkness, she said with a ceremonial bow. Chinnereth rolled her eyes, but still could not help but smile, and carried her food out with her. They walked across the square, nodding to many others walking to the same destination. The morning was cold, and the sky was clear toward the shore. Sindora shivered slightly, despite wearing much more than her. To Chinnereth, the cold was more like a gentle caress, and it took quite an icy temperature to truly make her feel uncomfortable. As if sensing her thoughts, Sindora glanced at her and said, "The blood of the storm giants must flow in you if you don't feel this chill." Sindora adjusted the hemline of her garb, folding the collar upward. Chinnereth answered with a half-smile before finishing her food. Though the sky was clear, a few clouds seemed to linger in the darkness, inland, opposite the rising sun. As was tradition, no ships docked this day, so the view of the ocean was clear behind the mirror. The sky was clear and calm enough that all four of Volgrath's moons could be seen. Serenra, the blue moon of Oranthe's light, was the biggest, high overhead. Then there was Shalastra's orb, the dark red moon of passion, hanging low near the brightening horizon. The green moon, Aerilus, said to house the domain of the demigoddess Auriel, shone in stark contrast to the dark horizon it hovered near, and in a color purple so dark as to be nearly invisible. Rhiannon's moon, Rao Kya'ang, could barely be seen, just touching the far horizon. Shinnereth considered Rhiannon's moon, wondering if her goddess was watching her. As her aunt had guessed, Octavius and his family were already occupying several seats nearest the mirror. The mirror guard were there, ever-present, as always. Mother Zara was seated near the front as well, holding a leather-bound volume on her lap. Shinnereth and Sindora walked over toward her and sat adjacent to her, after sharing the gesture of greeting. As they sat, the gathering crowd had started to share polite whispers, and Mother Zara looked to Shinnereth and simply smiled. Shinnereth looked at the mirror in the pool of reflection, trying to remember the short phrases that went along with the ceremony. As the sun rose above the horizon, so too did Mother Zara from her chair. She made her way to the small wooden platform and podium ahead of the crowd, sharing another look with Shinnereth as she did so. The polite, idle chatter immediately went silent, replaced only by the ebb and flow of the calm sea upon the docks. Mother Zara surveyed the crowd slowly, her eyes taking in the full scope of all those gathered. Shinnereth was close enough that she could swear her eyes glistened with tears. Mother Zara spoke, "Children of the Moon, I am so proud to see all of you gathered today. It is with great honor that I take my place here before you as the guide for this ceremony of names. We'll open today with an invocation to our goddess, Oranthe." She paused, and everyone in the crowd pressed their hands together and bowed their heads. "Our Holy Lady of the Dream Forest, please guide your children this day, our most sacred of days, that we may choose our names with wisdom and foresight. We thank thee for the continued protection and prosperity that our city has been blessed with, and we pray for continued safety against the storms of darkness. May we walk forever in your guiding moonlight. Amen," she intoned. There was an echo of amens in response throughout the crowd. Mother Zara stood up straight, and for the first time, Shinnereth noticed that there was a rolled parchment ahead of her. She withdrew a pair of spectacles from one of her pockets, put them on, and unfurled the scroll. "We'll proceed in familial order, as tradition dictates. If at the end your name has not been called, we will call for any remaining young persons who are missed." "Now..." Mother Zara glanced at the sheet, cleared her throat, and read the first name. "Erilyn, daughter of Aurelia who sings to the trees." Shinnereth glanced around to find Aero, who was, like herself and all of the others in her place of any gender, wearing the same style of garb as her. "Step forward into the pool of reflection. Look upon yourself. See Oranthe's creation, and then touch the sacred mirror," Mother Zara said. Shinnereth caught sight of Aero walking down the central aisle of the seats now. They shared brief eye contact, and Erilyn stood ahead of the pool of reflection, where two younger priestesses stood flanking it. The mirror guard were there as well, though now, only today, they held their spears with less rigidity and stood slightly apart from the mirror. "You may approach the mirror," one of them stated. Erilyn took a deep breath and knelt to remove her shoes, then stepped into the ankle-deep water of the circular pool. It was so large that she had to take two more steps to reach its center. She paused for a moment and then reached forward. The fingertips of her right hand touched the mirror. There was silence, but nothing else happened. She withdrew her hand. "I have seen myself, and I have seen Oranthe's creation. I call myself Erilyn, whose heart lies in the forest," Erilyn said, still standing in the pool. "Erilyn, whose heart lies in the forest, Oranthe and her people embrace you," Mother Zara said. Aero nodded to her and stepped from the pool, where one of the priestesses handed her her shoes and the other handed her a small towel. She sat on the edge of the platform, dried her feet, and replaced her shoes. While she did this, Mother Zara called the next name. Half an hour passed. Every time someone reached to touch the mirror, there was a pervasive silence, though nothing else ever occurred. The mirror did not resonate with arcane energy, and remained as still as it had for more than a century. Shinnereth debated with herself, wondering if the name she had chosen was truly fitting. It was true she had oft enjoyed dancing in her younger years, and even now on occasion, but did she really wish to have dancing in her name when it was not involved in her prospective profession? Then again, names were supposed to be metaphorical and emotional, and in that regard, dancing fit perfectly fine. But she also enjoyed the study of swordplay, and that wasn't mentioned at all in her name. Perhaps a name that reflected swordsmanship would better suit. Her inner debate was interrupted by a wet sensation on the back of her neck. Raindrops. She glanced up and realized that more than a few clouds had gathered, sweeping from inland. The sea breeze was replaced by wind gathering from the other direction. It was subtle, but the smell of the sea was replaced by something different. An earthy smell, the scent before a storm. Shinnereth stiffened in her chair and then shivered. She threw her gaze around the city walls in the distance. Things did not seem out of the ordinary there for now. Shinnereth, daughter of Serenya who sings to the stars, said Mother Zara. Shinnereth let herself focus back on the ceremony and rose slowly from her chair to walk toward the mirror. She stepped out of her shoes, stepping into the cool water of the reflection pool. Her entire sensation, felt on edge, narrowed in focus to only this moment, to only the mirror. The mirror guard nodded to her as she stepped forward and looked at herself, and at the reflection of the townspeople in the sky. She swallowed and then glanced at Sindora and spoke.
I see myself, and I see Aranthe's creation. I call myself Shinnereth who dances in darkness.
Mother Zara smiled and shared a look. Shinnereth who dances in darkness, Aranthe and her people embrace you. Shinnereth smiled brightly and stepped forward, left hand outstretched, and touched the mirror. The cold metal sent a chilling sensation sweeping over her like a fine mist. Time seemed to slow. Behind the dice. There is a chance this mirror node may cause Shinnereth to experience an arcane awakening. Even if this doesn't occur, there is something else dramatically appropriate that will occur. And here's the roll. Okay. This result is that nothing related to arcane awakening will occur, so Shinnereth will remain spellmuted. However, something will still happen. The sky seemed to darken, but the moon shone brighter. Everyone around murmured, though Shinnereth remained focused on the mirror. It seemed to ripple like water. As it did, a figure appeared, overlapping her own reflection. The sensation that had swept over her earlier grew even stronger. She felt tired. It was not only the sky that darkened. Everything seemed to suddenly be within a great shadow. Within the darksome mirror, a figure, spectral white, like a wraith, stared at Shinnereth with red eyes. She heard gasps in the crowd on the edge of her perception. Her gaze was fixed, and she could not turn away.
Greetings, Shinnereth, who dances in darkness. Long have I waited for one such as you.
Came a voice. It was strange and otherworldly, but in a way it was like the whisper of a long-lost friend. Shinnereth wanted to glance around to see if others could hear the voice, but she knew it was only within her mind.
What do you want? Who are you?
Shinnereth wondered back.
You know me as an option, Zarand. What I want is more complicated. For now, I simply want your trust. I want you alive.
The voice explained.
The sword? But how? Am I in danger? Why do I feel so tired?
Shinnereth asked, and felt her eyes drift closed. There was a sudden rush, and she felt herself falling for the briefest moment. Shinnereth, Shinna, can you hear me? Came a voice. Though it seemed so distorted that Shinnereth could not tell who the owner was, there was more shouting. Someone caught her. Their armor pinched her skin. Such pain normally would have woken her, but she could not stop herself from drifting away. She was falling again, this time with excruciating slowness. Her body broke the surface of the water. But that plane of water was one with the sky, in reflection and in purpose. It was night again. She was flying, or swimming, in the night sky. The moon, Rao Kya'ang, shone brighter than she had ever seen. It was so close, she thought she could reach out and touch it. The falling and the glacial cold sensation of icy water swept over her exposed skin. Somehow, she did not shiver. She should feel vulnerable, but did not. Drifting amongst the cold darkness, she saw a figure silhouetted against Rhiannon's moon. It was a feminine shape bearing horns and a curved blade. The lines of the figure's hair and dress blended into one. The beauty of the form and the presence was so magnificent that Shinnereth wept tears of joy.
Could this be Rhiannon herself? Have I died and crossed into the other planes?
Shinarth wondered. The drifting sensation slowly came to an end. Soft music filled her ears, a chorus of melancholy harps, Bannon's instrument of choice. Shinarth felt herself come to rest on an impossible softness, a cloud perhaps. She cradled something close to her, refusing to let it go. A blanket? No, it was too heavy. Yet, it was soft. It was someone else. They held her close, and the frigid chill abated. The same figure from before was in her arms, as close as a lover.
You have crossed a threshold of monumental importance. Shinarth dances in darkness.
Melau Shinzarod said. She realized now. The figure from earlier was Melau Shinzarod, or some entity bearing its name. A shadow being? A demon of the beyond? If such things seemed possible, why was she not overcome with panic or fear? This being held her like they were reunited after decades apart.
I know what comes next in your tale. I will be with you forever.
Melau Shinzarod said.
Why me? Why now? Why?
Shinarth asked. She wanted to scream, why? Why? What was truly happening? Behind the dice. Listeners may now recall an earlier mention in the background episode of Shinarth having background points spent. We've now discovered how. The background was a spirit mentor, and that spirit, an entity with its own goals, possesses the sword of Melau Shinzarod. Shinarth will attempt to roll willpower against a mind-altering effect here. This is a particularly good dice pool for Shinarth of 8 dice. However, she receives one dice penalty for being nocturnal. This is also an opposed roll versus Melau Shinzarod's willpower. Unlike Shinarth, Melau Shinzarod receives a specialty dice for this. Okay, let's see how this shakes up the narrative. Shinarth wondered if she should struggle. She was at peace, yet bubbling from the depths of her subconscious was a sense of paranoia.
What have you done to me?
She asked Melau Shinzarod. She wished for anger, for venom, but could not find it in her. The words that left her mouth were barely more than a curious whisper.
I've saved you. I sense the fury within you. Reserve that for your enemies.
Enemies?
Shinarth asked. She tried to look around, to open her eyes, to awaken from this bizarre dream. This time she was successful.
Shinarth, Shinna, can you hear me?
A voice echoed again with painfully distorted slowness. She thought it might have been Sindora.
Yes, Aunt?
Shinarth asked. The only reply was silence. Sindora's voice had been a mere memory. She opened her eyes. It was utterly dark. She could infer a few things. She was laying on a cot of some kind, and she could also tell that she was underground. There was a unique chilly dampness that clung to her skin, the kind only encountered in a cave or similar place. Her eyes adjusted after a moment. Though it was far too dark to make out details, her eyes and her connection to Rhiannon allowed her to see shades of gray. She was in a small square room. Stairs upward lined one wall completely. There was a cot, which she sat upon, and then, against one wall, 2 cabinets and a full backpack. A bookshelf, encased with glass, stood next to her. It was the room beneath the altar.
Yes, that room. Now remain quiet. The old priestess said there were supplies here.
Shinarth heard again. It was Melashin's rod. In her arms, she carried it, still cradled against her like a lover. There it was, and tied to its sheath was its smaller companion weapon, Dalan Throm.
I truly thought you were a dream. What dark magic are you born of?
Shinarth whispered to the sword. She set the long blade down on the cot. With her limited vision, she fumbled to find the handles to the cabinets and struggled to determine their contents. Behind the dice. Shinarth will now use her intellect and awareness skill to see. Most entities in the world cannot see in this level of light, total darkness, and thus cannot make a check at all. But Shinarth's Blood of Rhiannon background allows her to attempt the check at a 4 dice penalty. She has a talent for this, but the dice pool is only 2 dice, plus 1 because time has passed and it is now night. And the nocturnal bonus die made all the difference here. Shinnereth struggled, sometimes having to hold objects close to her face to make out details, but eventually found clothes that must have been meant for traveling members of the clergy. As she stripped of her ceremonial garb, her mind drifted back to the sword on the cot.
"What are you?"
she whispered.
"I can hear your thoughts. We are one now. There is no need to speak aloud,"
Milauchin Zerod said. A brief shock of panic at the idea of that washed over her, but she could simply sense that there would be much bigger problems, and she pushed it from her mind.
"Fine then, answer me,"
Shinnereth asked.
"Your ancestor once slew me, the first to receive the sword, before Andros. My blood and soul fused into this blade. I was his first truly fearsome foe, and he grew to regret it afterward. If you are a servant of Rhiannon, then we are the truest friends,"
Milauchin Zerod said, their voice soothing.
"Do you have a name? Surely you do not enjoy the name of the sword that slew you,"
Shinnereth asked. There was a bristling, disapproving sensation projected from the presence, but eventually they said,
"Naima, if you must know. But I have had many names."
At least it would be easier to say than Milauchin Zerod.
"Why am I down here? Where are the others?"
Shinnereth asked, pulling on black hose and a simplistic robe. It accompanied a wide-brimmed hat and knee-high leather boots. There was also a woolen mantle to ward off the rain, an imported rarity from Moonshard Bay.
"So many questions. They're probably all dead, or enslaved, or worse. I brought you down here so that you didn't join them,"
Naima said. Surely it couldn't be true.
"You brought me here?"
Shinnereth asked.
"I dislike having to control another's body. You have a right to anger for that. Thankfully, aside from retrieving the blades, I did not have to do much. And now, you get to live,"
Naima said. A million thoughts and emotions swirled in Shinnereth's head like a windstorm from her dreams.
"What awaits us upstairs?"
Shinnereth asked.
"A patrol from the Order of the Lion."
Shinnereth's heart suddenly felt like a rock.
"How do you know that, Naima?"
"I have not simply slept in silence all those decades on your wall,"
Naima said. Shinnereth realized that she had far too many questions to ask Naima now, and focused on the immediate problem. She pulled on a sturdy pair of goatskin gloves, and then started to examine the contents of the pack next to the cot. She pushed aside thoughts of the fates of her friends or aunt.
"Do you know how many of them there are?"
Shinnereth asked.
"One patrol, so 12 men or so. It is night, and so there are many patrols asleep. It's a guess."
"How did they take the city with 12 men? The Mirror Guard alone?"
"Oh, Shinnereth. They have hundreds of men, perhaps thousands. But most of them have moved north and east."
"Invasion? Mother was right,"
Shinnereth considered.
"And yet she is not here. Luckily, I am,"
Naima said. Shinnereth swore she could feel the energy of a smile emanating from the presence. She let Naima's words linger. The backpack contained provisions, one extra set of clothes, part of a shelter, and a light bedroll. For the moment, she withdrew a water skin and drank greedily, finding herself parched.
"Thank the twin goddesses and Mother Zara,"
she considered, shouldering the pack.
"And I don't suppose you know why the humans are here?"
Shinnereth asked. She reached for Dawn Thrum, tying the sheathed sword edge upward through her sash. Then she reached for Milauchin Zerod, but hesitated.
"Do humans ever need an excuse to kill, or worse?"
Naima asked in response. Shinnereth found herself reluctantly agreeing and picked up the large weapon, examining it again. It felt different now that she knew what or who it held within. She also realized that the sheath was a bizarre and specialized thing, with two cut slits, an expanded section, and a rain flap, allowing it to be drawn from the back while worn, and still keeping out the elements.
"I have waited long for this, but we cannot charge into the fray. The shadows are our ally, and before you leave, I would ask that you draw me, and that we pray to Rhiannon together. Then, they will know our fury,"
Naima said, their normally playful voice frigid with purpose. Shira secured the sheathed weapon to her back with its numerous black cords under her backpack. Then, with the sound of the barest whisper, she drew the sword. Behind the dice, there is something that should be discussed moving forward. Naima, the spirit mentor, is an entity with their own character sheet as laid out in the rules. They can perform a limited amount of actions and are not able to move themselves, meaning the sword. Additionally, there should be a discussion of character advancement. In Darksome Mirror, there are no levels as such. Instead, characters gain experience, usually at the rate of 2 experience per session, and then can spend it during downtime. For the purpose of this podcast, Shinareth, Naima, and any other character joining the party will gain 4 experience per episode, as I think increased experience will make for a greater sense of drama in the story. There are also other mechanics to discuss. One is called heroism. Every character starts with 1 point of heroism, and it can be used to accomplish something truly heroic, but still within the realms of narrative feasibility, only once per campaign. So, Shinareth has 1. Naima, having technically died in the past, does not. Before we resume, there is 1 other thing. Each character has an attribute called Demigod's Favor. This is a number ranging from -6 to +6, and represents the favor of a chosen demigod or goddess. Shinareth has a score of 1, which is also the default score. Naima has a score of 3, having had a very long history with Rhiannon, but not much activity in recent history. Favor becomes harder to gain the higher the value is. There is little mechanical purpose most of the time, but it could be used in exceptional circumstances. Unlike the gods on Volgrath, the demigods still live, as rare as they are. Shinareth crossed her legs in the traditional pose of prayer and meditation. She placed Mal'Shin's rod across her knees gently and took her amulet in 1 hand. Shinareth closed her eyes and breathed deep.
O Rhiannon, dancer in shadow, wrap me in your shroud of night. Rend my foes with your holy might. Bathe me in your sacred power, for nigh draws the witching hour.
Shinareth chanted. It was a rhyme she recalled from a dream sermon.
Very good. I think we will get along just fine.
Naima said. Holding the sword tightly enough that the leather of her gloves creaked, Shinareth ascended the stairs and pushed on the trap door, which, thankfully, barely creaked at all. She gently put it down behind her and held Mal'Shin's rod aloft, prepared for anything. She was inside the cathedral, as she had expected. There were signs of a struggle within, and the pews were overturned, scattered, and sundered. The moonlight filtering through the windows allowed her to see streaks of blood and the occasional broken arrow or bolt, but no bodies or other weapons. She looked at the main entrance. Its doors showed signs of damage and hung slightly ajar. The play of light coming through the windows fell across the pearlescent white metal of Mal'Shin's rod's blade and crossguard. Shinareth noticed that it did not reflect light as it should. It was shrouded in shadow instead. Doubtless, it was Naima's arcana. Shinareth glanced back at the desecrated room, wondering what might lie beyond.
Should we escape this place? Where do I go? Shall Astrazara?
Shinareth wondered aloud.
That is the safest choice.
Naima agreed.
Northward, then. If I stick to the coastline, I can perhaps avoid the worst of the patrols. I imagine the Order's main force will be on the road. What of the survivors? I should at least look for them.
Shinareth thought. Naima did not respond right away. Shinareth walked with quiet, deliberate steps toward the side exit of the cathedral. The age-old triptychs, windows, and wooden embellishments of the walls were abandoned now. Some lay forever broken or missing. Through 1 window, Shinareth saw something that stole her breath and froze her in her tracks.
Put them from your mind.
Naima said. There were bodies. 100s of them, at least. There were other piles as well. Weapons, clothes, and others she could not see. Even in the moonlight, she could make out the river of blood leaking from beneath the sheets that covered them. They were piled in the square not far from the mason's table, where she had walked into for celebration but 1 night ago. The mixed emotions inside Shinareth bubbled up. She should have been there to help stop this. Immense shock and sadness turned to rage and then back again.
No, you are skilled. With me, we are fearsome. But you cannot outmaneuver 100 spears. Even one patrol would be a risk. Your corpse would decorate the ground too, had I not intervened. Or worse, you could have been sold into slavery.
The very mention of the word caused heat to rise to Shinnereth's face. She knew some humans engaged in the practice, though it was outlawed in many countries. Taking a deep breath, Shinnereth crouched, trying to hide as she saw a movement in the square, among the piles and near the mirror. Behind the dice. There will be two rolls here. One will be an oracle roll, with the question, is there more than one patrol's worth of enemies present and awake? I think this is unlikely. I'll add a penalty of 2 to the yes-no dice, but a bonus of 2 to the chaos normality dice, since I think the unusual circumstances here may cause something strange to occur. This is a 2d10 roll. The first roll is yes or no in degrees, and the second roll is the chaos or normality dice, where a higher roll means something highly unusual has influenced the first dice. Now rolling 2d10. Interesting. So I have a 4 and a 6, and this means no but, and that something rather rare has influenced the narrative. Or perhaps someone interesting, so I think I have some ideas. The next roll is for Shinnereth's perception to determine who is present. Since Volgrath has 4 moons, although only 3 actually shed light, and the night is clear, this is a low-light condition, and Shinnereth suffers no penalties due to her ancestry. She also receives the nocturnal bonus die, and a skill talent applies. So there is a pool of 7 dice for this. And the talent really shows its value here, resulting in 2 successes. Shinnereth waited for a few moments, her teal eyes scanning the various features of the square. She counted 5 moving figures patrolling the paths around the square and the docks. These had hooded lanterns. 2 figures, however, seemed there for a different purpose. Both were standing in front of the mirror, examining it closely. They had a lit candelabra and a table ahead of them, and occasionally were returning to it to do something. Shinnereth could not tell exactly what. One seemed to be wearing red robes, and whatever helm they wore reflected in a brassy shine. The other seemed very out of place, wearing robes of rich dark red and gold, with a hood drawn. Even so, she could tell the hooded man had long hair. They were speaking, or even arguing, but their voices were too far away to make out. Behind the dice. Shinnereth and Naima will now both attempt to determine if they recognize who or what these individuals are. This is an academics intellect roll. First, Shinnereth. Shinnereth has rolled 1 success out of 7 dice. Now Naima. Naima has also rolled 1 success out of 5 dice. Shinnereth squinted again at the figure's helmet, or was it a mask? She recalled stories of those sent to investigate tales of sorcery wearing metallic masks. Could this be such a one? It seemed possible. He, if it was a he, was studying the mirror in some way. The hooded one, she had no idea. Nothing could truly be discerned about them. All of the other humans seemed to be patrolling. She assumed others of them were asleep in places that she could not see. Her eyes drifted to her house, the archivist's office. At this angle, she could barely see it. There was an alley behind it. In the dark, sneaking up to the back door might be easy. But what would be the point of going there? What did she hope to find? Still, she was driven.
Shinnereth, do not go. The risk is not worth it. They are certain to have raided it for information.
Naima said.
I must. There is a hidden place. A basement. Someone could be there.
She felt Naima's disapproval, but pushed on. She glanced at the altar of Aranthe, a circular table adorned with a tapestry of a wooden scene. Normally, it held a silver statuette of the goddess, and an offering bowl, but they had both likely been stolen.
Cover me in your shroud of night.
Shinnereth thought again, prayerfully. She bowed to the altar in parting and made her way to the side exit. Before opening the door, she slid the peephole cover back, looking for the light of the lanterns from the patrols. Seeing none, she opened the door cautiously and then stuck to the shadows in an attempt to make it to the rear of the archivist's office. Behind the dice, Shinnereth will now roll finesse plus stealth plus nocturnal. I will allow for a 2-die bonus since it is dark. I have rolled a critical failure. This is a good time to explain fate points, and a good time also for Shinnereth to use one. When using a fate point, your character may reroll a specific roll. This represents a close call, or creatively overcoming the odds, or sometimes just dumb luck. Shinnereth has 2 fate points. These are regained at the beginning of every session, and so she will use one now. Here is the roll again, and we have achieved 3 successes. I will also roll perception for the nearest patrolman and the officer at the mirror. Since it is dark, there would normally be a 3-dice penalty for the patrolman since they are human. However, the lantern or candelabra provides a 1-die bonus, which partially counteracts it. Alright, we'll see how this shakes up the narrative. Shinnereth stepped out into the dark street. For the briefest of moments, on the edge of her perception, she saw the flicker of a lantern. Catching herself, she lingered behind the edge of the open door, allowing the patrolman to pass before continuing. The rest of the distance to her house was clear. Even behind the house, she could tell that the house had been a scene of recent violence. The windows were all open, some of them shattered. The back door was ajar. Using the tip of Malau Shin's rod, she pushed it further open and crept inside. She did not see any light. Shinnereth bristled with rage again. She wondered how impulsive she could afford to be. Part of her wished to go upstairs to search her room for additional supplies or some of her things. Another part of her wondered if she should immediately go to the basement to see if it still remained hidden.
You have a bow in your room. It could prove useful. Let us listen to determine if anyone might be within first.
Naima weighed in. Shinnereth considered and listened. Behind the dice. I actually need to make 2 rolls here. One is to determine the general state of the house, and one for listening. We'll roll a high-low roll to determine the state of the house. The higher, the better. Alright. We've rolled 5. This means the damage is moderate, but it probably makes the most sense for the obvious focus to be on the archivist's record room, so Shinnereth's room may remain somewhat untouched. Now for Shinnereth's listening check. Alright, we've achieved a critical success. Shinnereth stepped into the house, seeing that much of the random objects in the house were scattered or stolen. Once she determined she was not in immediate danger, she lowered the point of her sword and focused on hearing. She heard nothing upstairs, or toward the archives themselves. However, there was a sound below her. In the basement itself, she thought, but it sounded like crying. It was so faint that she could barely make it out. Moving as fast as she could while maintaining her stealth, she made her way to her room, opening the door to find her clothes largely scattered or missing. Her mirror was broken, shards spread over the tossed bed and rug.
Why such petty destruction?
Shinnereth asked, frowning immensely.
I'm more concerned about why they stole your undergarments. Truly perverse.
Naima said mischievously.
Naima.
Shinnereth thought, and then shook her head in exasperation. But it seemed a few things were untouched. She found her bow and quiver, but not her saber. On a whim, she took her makeup kit, a slim volume of hymns dedicated to Rhiannon, and one of the few sashes she could find, a dark blue one adorned with stars.
Honestly, Rhiannon and I both respect your dedication to vanity,
Naima commented. Shockingly, there was no sarcasm in their voice, and Shinnereth even swore there was something else. Admiration? Jealousy? Flirtation? Focusing on making her way back down the hall to the basement's entrance, she readied her weapon again. The kitchen, unsurprisingly, had been ransacked of food, and it was a chore to even traverse the floor without stepping on anything. However, this had an unintended effect of helping conceal the basement's entrance, a recession in a wall in the larder. With painstaking slowness, Shinnereth sheathed her sword and made calm, deliberate steps on clear ground to avoid undue noise. When she had reached the recession, she pressed against one side of it, causing it to shift. The noise she had heard before was gone. There was a pop, and then the sound of a hinge on the hidden door. The basement opened before her, and in the darkness, death. So much death. Her head swam. Six corpses. Sindora, slashed in the neck and the head, had eyes forever closed. Her sword, notched and beaten, remained in her hand, though her fingers had partially relaxed. Erolyn, with a spear shaft impaled in her side, lay face down on the dusty rug. Tarion, still holding a bloody saber, lay flat on his back, with a shocking gash open from his neck into his torso and numerous stab wounds. Three other men, armored and armed, bore tabards with the symbol of the Order of the Lion. One had been mostly decapitated. His head was bent so far to the side it lay on his own shoulder. One was face down, their cause of death unclear. The last one's face was in such disarray that Shinnereth could not bear to examine it further and looked away. They were slumped against one wall, and yet there was movement. "Shinnereth?" said a voice. It was Phelan, holding Shinnereth's saber in his right hand. His opposite forearm was cut badly, with blood still dripping down his fingers. He wore the ceremonial garb of naming still, as did Tarion and Erlyn. He had bound his forearm crudely in a few places. "How are you alive?" Phelan asked, stepping toward her. He lowered the saber.
"I could ask you the same,"
Shinnereth asked, but she had to speak past her own tears. Her voice broke, and she embraced Phelan. They cried together, their tears mixing with the myriad blood in the macabre setting. "When you collapsed, they brought you here. Sindora stayed with you, but the rest of the ceremony continued. After we had been named, we all came to watch over you. Somehow, you held onto those swords, had gotten a hold of them somehow, even though you had returned to resting. We shouted and tried to open your eyes, but Mother Zara, she said we should let you rest, and that we should bring you to the room under the altar in the cathedral. Afterward, we had a meal at the Mason's, but it seemed hollow without you. That's when we heard the horns from the guards. Then we fled here. Tarion was so brave. They all were. I'm no good with a sword. I caught one in the side with a lucky strike. I thought Sindora might survive, but her wounds were too severe. I couldn't save her," Phelan said.
"If I had been awake, I could have been there with them,"
Shinnereth thought to Naima.
"Perhaps. It is a terrible thing to lose one so close,"
Naima added after a silence. There was a sincerity to her words, like the weight of memory. Shinnereth looked at Phelan in the darkness, and then at Sindora.
"We will give them some dignity. I will say Aranthe's right. And then we must make for the capital, while it's still dark,"
Shinnereth said, her voice strained with sadness. Phelan nodded, and with his uninjured hand, he assisted Shinnereth in posing their three loved ones in a more dignified position, with their weapons over their chests. They moved the three invaders away from them, covering them with sackcloth instead in the corner of the small room. Shinnereth stood over her friends.
"Aranthe, though your moon cannot shine here, know that these spirits have departed for your dream forest. Sindora, who gathers knowledge, Erolyn, whose heart lies in the forest, and Tarion, whose sword strikes true. We commend you to Aranthe's embrace,"
Shinnereth said with one hand on her amulet. She inclined her head toward the fallen and slowly made the gesture of parting by holding her hands together over her heart before releasing them in an outward motion. It struck her that she would never see them alive again. The weight of her memories and past happiness turned into a weight upon her soul, and she let her tears flow again. After a few minutes, Phelan stood and made the gesture of parting as well, and then spoke. "Erlyn had a cottage to the north. She was working on it, wanted it to be a surprise, a place we could all be together before our apprenticeships took us elsewhere. She showed me only a few days ago, because she wanted to make space for a small library there," Phelan said.
"Then there may be supplies there,"
Shinnereth asked. The idea of such a place was lovely, even in such grim circumstances. "Yes, she was using it as a hunting lodge and herb garden before she had the idea. It is off the beaten path. If the humans haven't found it, we should seek it out," he explained.
"The world is truly worse for her loss. May she find peace in Aranthe's dream forest. If we are lucky, we can find something for your arm,"
Shinnereth said, nodding to his injury. "It is not so dire, but I should clean it when possible," he said, looking to the exit. They both took a moment in silence to breathe and think. The scent of blood was strong, but decay had not yet set in.
"I see you found my saber. Keep it ready. If we can stick to the shadows, we may not need it.
Shinnereth said,
It is good you have found him, if he is capable.
Nymal said. Shinnereth bristled at their callousness, but thought nothing in response. With a final glance toward the corpses, they departed. Behind the dice, Shinnereth's demigod's favor with Eranthe has increased by one. Phelan currently has 8 out of 10 HP and 1 out of 1 fate points. Shinnereth has 9 out of 9 HP and 1 out of 2 fate points. Phelan and Shinnereth will now attempt to move stealthily out of the back of the Archivist's house, northward, and move toward Erlen's hut. I will roll an oracle die to answer the question, has the patrol pattern changed in a way inconvenient to the party? This will be a standard 2d10 roll with a modifier of -3 and +1, since it seems to be more unlikely and more chaotic in circumstance. This result is 4-4. So this is modified to a 1 for the yes-no dice and a 5 for the chaos normality dice. This means no, but something mildly chaotic has happened. And now we'll roll stealth. For Phelan, this is a dice pool of 6, and for Shinnereth, 5, counting her nocturnal die. It is still dark, but with their position close to the center of town, along with there being 2 of them, means that I'll only grant 1 bonus die. Shinnereth rolls finesse stealth. Okay. Phelan rolls finesse stealth. Okay. And guard number 1 rolls intellect awareness. The guard has rolled 3 tens, so critical success even with penalties. Officer 1 rolls. He has rolled a 0. The hooded man rolls. And has achieved 2 successes. It's worth noting that fate cannot be used to change the rolls of other characters, so the guard will notice them. The street was empty and strangely tranquil, bathed in the mixed light of Volgrath's moons. In this small space, Shinnereth could almost convince herself that everything was normal again. She felt confident, sticking to the shadows in the eaves of her house. Phelan trailed just behind. With their weapons at the ready, they glanced northward toward the road out of town. The way was clear, and the lanterns of the other men seemed a good distance away. They were 10 steps down the road when a door opened right in front of them, and an armed soldier exited, lantern in hand. The building had otherwise been quiet. They noticed each other immediately. There was a flood of hatred in Shinnereth, and she realized that some part of it was actually from Nymaw. Without hesitation, she raised her drawn sword and set to cleave into the man's neck with a powerful, lunging slash. The flash of steel as battle is joined. As it is, the man has noticed them, and he could call out on his turn. So we roll initiative. Since the Order Soldier is wearing armor, he faces a penalty. Initiative is a 1d10 roll that adds the character's initiative score. The results are Shinnereth with 14, Phelan and Nymaw both with 6, and the Order Soldier with 5. Shinnereth will attack with a roll of finesse and heavy blades, +4 from other modifiers. The nocturnal die does not apply to combat rolls. Since the man is aware, he will make an opposed roll to parry with his short sword. Shinnereth has rolled 4 successes, including 3 rolls of 7, really showing the strength of her weapon talent. Her opponent has rolled 2 successes to parry. This is a success differential of 2. So Shinnereth deals 4 damage from her weapon type, +2 from successes, +2 from her strength score, and this is 8 damage total. The weapon has an armor piercing value of 1, and the man is wearing a mail shirt, which is 4 armor, so 8 minus 3 is 5 damage. Shinnereth felt the power and momentum of her whole body and intent, and the hatred from her and Nymaw both pour into the blade of Malach Enzerod. The man raised his sword to parry, and even attempting to find a better stance in the cramped space near the door, but it was not enough. Shinnereth's sword was barely deflected by the Order Soldier's weapon, and the blade bit deep into his collarbone. Links of mail burst as the weight of the first strike drove into the man. Before she could withdraw the sword, Phelan approached from the man's flank, angling a curved thrust toward him. Phelan is using a one-handed weapon, but the man has no more parry dice this turn. He must soak the damage. Sabers do not have armor piercing, and the man has 5 more HP. Galen rolls two successes out of five dice. He deals three base damage, plus two strength, plus two from successes, minus four from armor. Unfortunately, this means that the man barely lives. Shinarath withdraws her sword and parries the return one-handed strike. There is another factor. Nymaw can take actions. They cannot attack, but by using Shinarath's mana, they can cast spells. So here, they will attempt to use the spell Aspect of the Shadow Fae Queen. Magic in the world of Darksome Mirror is very flexible and allows for custom spells. Nymaw will roll to Spellweave with their Charisma plus Arcane Attunement score, which is 8 dice. Nymaw first rolls only 2 successes, but will use a fate point to reroll. Achieving a rather amazing and maybe statistically anomalous 9 successes with many 10s. This means that not only is Nymaw's spell successful, but that it can be cast with only the cost of 2 mana, where it would normally require 4. The Order Soldier will roll an opposed willpower roll, but achieves only 1 success, which is not nearly enough. Shinarath felt something within her leave, like the drawing out of a breath, without her knowledge or intent. At the same moment, there was a flood of power. A shroud of darkness washed over her, and she felt and saw herself change. She was no longer simply Shinarath who dances in darkness, but now, there was an aspect of Rhiannon cast over her. She realized, somehow, that it was the same visage she had seen in the mirror. Her hate became Nymaw's hate, and both became a tangible force. The man perceived the terrible form, and his mind broke. Shinarath saw the intelligence leave his eyes as his mind shattered under her power.
Is this sorcery?
She wondered.
It is. We must run. Leave him. He is gone. He cannot tell them anything now.
Nymaw said callously. Phelan, stunned, took 5 steps away from Shinarath, but as soon as he had separated from her, the terrible visage had gone. He looked toward the center of the square, where it seemed another fight had broken out. They could see the hooded figure in a violent confrontation with the officer he had argued with earlier, and more guards were charging over to them. There were red lights, and Shinarath wondered if the hooded man might have been an arcanist. Behind the dice. The earlier oracle indicated a no and. This gave me the opportunity to use the hooded man, who we may meet later, as a potentially convenient occurrence for Shinarath. With this, the two of them fled northward with prayers on their lips. As they sprinted, Shinarath's mind raced with questions.
Naima, what happened? You must tell me. And more, I must tell Phelan.
Shinarath thought to her spiritual companion.
In time. For now, I will only say, I have been granted many gifts by Rhiannon, and now you have witnessed one.
Nymaw responded curtly. Shinarath sighed and looked at Phelan. Shinna, did the mirror awaken you? What was that? Phelan said between gasps.
I don't truly know,
she responded. They made it to the northern gate, flanked on both sides by guard turrets. Shinarath slowed to a walk, holding up a hand and looking around. They had not left the city yet. Horns sounded behind them as the sounds of violence continued. Behind the dice. Shinarath rolls intellect awareness and achieves 3 successes out of 7 dice. Phelan rolls intellect awareness and achieves 2 successes out of 6 dice. There will be no opposed roll here, since the Order Soldier, whose patrol partner they just confronted, will be heading inward regardless. This does mean that they will be aware of him due to the sound of his armor.
There is another. Be ready.
Shinarath whispered. In the open street of the city's entrance, there was nowhere to hide. The man ahead of them turned and readied his arming sword. He held his lantern like a warding tool. Fucking loons, he spat. Shinarath's hatred returned, and she brought her sword upward, hoping to mullinate into a powerful cut. The flash of steel as battle is joined. Initiative is rolled. Shinarath rolls a 6. The Order Soldier rolls an 8. And Phelan rolls a 9. I guess luck is really with him. Since we have a firm grasp on the mechanics of how dice are rolled in combat, we'll go ahead and roll as the narrative of combat is taking place. Phelan was faster than Chi and the enemy both, lunging in from the flank. Despite this, he was strongly parried, nearly stumbling with the force of it. Shinrath moved between them, forcing a counter on her instead. She parried, but the lunging counter thrust of the enemy was so close that it grazed her cheekbone with a superficial cut. However, she used the momentum of the guard's thrust to bring her sword into a moiné, turning it around over her head. With a dancing step forward, she struck. The guard's parry was high, but Shinrath was able to turn her wrist so that her sword arced beneath it. The blade slashed deep into the man's chest cavity, breaking male links and ribs alike and causing an audible wheeze of pain. Shinrath brought her sword around into a defensive stance. Phelan struck as the man was reeling, and since he was in no position to defend, the slash to his face was unguarded. A gurgling cry sounded as he crumpled to the ground. Though he was defeated, Shinrath brought her sword around again, striking with another moiné to truly end the man.
It is good to be in the heat of battle again. You fight well. I saw you had it in hand, so I dared not use my sorcery again. Your friend seems ill at ease with it.
Naima said.
You may have to talk to him at some point, if you're able.
Shinrath thought back. Behind the dice, Shinrath's favor with Rhiannon has increased by one. Shinrath wiped her blade clean on the man's tabard, nodding to Phelan to do the same, which he did with some hesitation. At last, they left the city. The main road curved inland, but between it and the coast, there were plentiful trees.
Rhiannon smiles upon us. Can we stick to the trees while you lead us to Arrow's hut?
Shinrath said, turning to Phelan. It seems so, he said. He nodded, glancing back at the corpse of the slain man briefly. As they departed the city, the sun brightened the horizon. The road ahead of them was full of the signs of heavy boots and wagons alike. They turned off it sharply, keeping to the shadows. Session notes. Character status. We now have a foundation of our party. Shinrath has 9 out of 9 health points, 8 out of 10 mana points, no spells, and currently 16 experience after gaining 4 this session. She will spend 15 experience gaining a third point of strength, which will increase her damage and athletics pool, and if she increases it again, will increase her health by 1. She feels as if all of the walking and fighting she has done has made her stronger. Naima, the spirit mentor inhabiting Shinrath's sword, has no health on the temporal plane and also no mana. Naima has the spell Aspect of the Shadow Fae Queen and 3 other currently unknown spells prepared. Naima has 5 unspent experience points after gaining 4 at the end of this episode. Phelan currently has 8 out of 10 hit points and 9 out of 9 mana points. Phelan has no spells prepared. Phelan also has 5 unspent experience points after gaining 4 at the end of this episode. This has been an episode of Darksome Mirror. The music heard in this podcast is used by permission from the artists Dahlia's Tear, their record label Cryo Chamber, Dream State Logic, Arong, and now joining us for the first time, the artist Witchbolt, whose music was also used with permission. Artificial intelligence has not been used in any way to construct or contribute to this podcast, and I, the creator, do not consent to the use of this podcast for AI training material. This episode, I would like to thank a few people for providing shoutouts or advice for the podcast. That would be John of Tale of the Manticore and Simon of Legend of the Bones. If you haven't given their podcasts a listen, please do so. For more information on these artists, please see the podcast description. The art for this podcast was created by the talented Flavio Winston. Darksome Mirror also has a blog, which can be found at darksomemirror.blogspot.com. Thank you again for listening. Farewell, and until we meet again, may the stars guide you.